let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargel. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you today.
It is summertime, and the living is easy. And you know, my fish are jumping in my pond.
What?
Life could not be better, right?
That is a riot. What do you mean they actually jump to get?
Oh, they get so happy that they get out. Yeah, they just jump out of happiness, right?
Do they ever jump out of the pond? They don't.
Well,
do
they
that.
Possibly can, but I got a pretty good edge around, so they can't do that. But You know, you feed them, you put your hands in the water, they jump over each other, gnawing at my hand or my daughter's hand when she likes to feed them.
Yeah. Now, are these koi?
Yeah, these are koi fish. They're absolutely crazy. You can pet them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I never. It's like the Garden of Eden when animals and humans live together. I mean, so it's all so good.
Before the fall, when the lions and the lambs would live together.
That's right. So it's summertime.
Okay. Yeah, it's really true.
Summer days, right?
It's been really hot, but the rain last night really cooled things down.
Oh, it
so
did,
today's
yeah.
gorgeous, yeah. Mm-hmm. gorgeous day today. Bad rains, though. I mean, it knocked down a lot of trees and stuff.
Yeah, they'll grow back.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not worry about that. Okay, instead, we're going to talk about something that's unbelievably important. And when I read this post, which is called History, Memory, and Liturgy on AncientHopes.org, it was an eye-opener for me. Because, of course, people have asked me over my many years of being a Catholic, you know, my whole life, they've asked me many, many times why it is that we do. What is this reenactment thing? Why do we say we're present at Calvary when we have the Eucharist and the Eucharistic prayer is happening? You know, why does all that take place? And I don't think I've ever been able to answer them, but I'll be able to now.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, there are things you have to know when you hit the Bible, right? And one of them is structure.
Okay.
Here, Danny, structure is everything because the structure gives us the meaning of the text itself.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, we've been working our way through the battle, right?
Yep.
Basically, chapters 7 through 10.
Yep. So that's the last of the plagues.
That's history. We'll call it history, even though it's highly stylized history. And not history in the modern sense, because it's stylized for a theological effect. That doesn't mean it's not historical. It's just not the way we do history in today's world.
And what you mean is it's not like word for word exact details written down to be. It's more of a story about what happened. But it really
right. And since the Enlightenment, history's become so dull.
Oh. Yes.
Because everybody's trying to write history as it really was, right? Yeah. But then we have lost confidence in that. And so everybody realizes that we can write history any way we want it now, okay?
Yeah.
We can change this, drop that out, you know? I mean, it just the whole idea of history is a mess in our culture, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so history is written with a theological thrust to it. Right. In other words, it's history in God's eyes, the way he wants us to know history.
Okay.
Which is an important thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get chapter 11, where you got what we might call a revelation that God wants to give his people in anticipation to the final act, so to speak.
So it's some instruction?
Yeah. You could call it oracle of instruction. And then we have in chapter 12, where we are today, verses 1 through 28, liturgical instruction. Okay? Isn't that interesting? And then it's back to the historical narrative at the last part of the chapter 12, right?
Okay.
And then it's back to liturgical instruction, that which is really the, I mean, yeah, how should I say this? Chapter 12 has got this in and out of history and liturgical instruction.
Okay. And then does that roll into 13, and that's where the... That's where that instruction kind of ends.
Yeah, that's when the grand finale starts happening.
Yeah, right.
So this is what we have to think about. Why would it be structured this way of history, liturgical instruction? You know, why?
Mixed back and forth.
This goes back and back and forth. Well, when you get into Hebrew mind and we talk thinking about history, by the way, the Hebrews don't even have a name for history. They just have a word for remembrance.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that in itself. But what it means is that the past means nothing outside of a theological context.
Okay. Yeah.
Think about that. Let that sink in. The past has no meaning outside of a theological context. And we know that. I mean, really, I mean, you know, maybe that's probably one of the reasons why people don't even care about history now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because it has no meaningful context.
Okay.
And it's a theological context that gives it meaning, okay? So redemptive history can only have its full meaning in a liturgical history.
Okay.
Okay. It's acted out in prayer and worship, Danny. That's so important.
Yeah,
okay?
That was important for me to read, to understand. Yeah.
And liturgy, the Hebrew word for liturgy, avodah, okay, which means work.
Okay, yep.
Okay. And the Septuagint renders it letreion, from which we get the word liturgy.
Okay.
Okay, so that's really key to know, okay? And then... listen to this in verse 25. When you come to the land which Yahweh will give you, you shall keep. That word keep is really important, shamar in Hebrew.
Yeah.
This service, avodah. What that verse does is it puts together two very important ideas, keeping and work.
Yeah.
That takes, those two words take you back to the Garden of Eden.
Right, because that's what Adam and Eve were supposed to do. Yeah. Keep and work in the garden.
Yeah. That's right. That's what we were made for, to guard and to keep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, as human beings. Okay, so this is so cool. Okay, their main responsibility is our main responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so that is very important. Now, the Passover, which these texts are preparing us for, right, is meant to be a liturgy, a liturgical remembrance. Okay. Now, when you think of remembering, what do you think of? Or what does most people think of when you remember?
Well, just the things from my own past, my own life past.
Right, right. And it's really a cognitive type thing.
Sure.
Well, it's far more than that in the Bible when you talk about remembering.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of, just to add to that a little bit, I think for people, it is even more than remembering, because you remember, but then you smell things. You actually feel things.
Well,
so
you're bringing something very important together into this conversation with that statement, because memory is one of the faculties of the soul that's incredible. That makes us part of the image of God, right?
Yeah.
And so you have this power. And I mentioned this before, but St. Augustine in chapter 10 of his Confessions has the most amazing conversation on the power of memory. You're right. You can go back anywhere you want to in your past. You can right now be at the beach if you want to, right? You can be in the mountains if you want to.
Yeah.
You can just go anywhere, because it's this vast thing in our head where we can see expanses of the whole heavens and everything. You know, you shut your eyes and you can be there. I mean,
right.
That is incredibly important, right?
Yeah,
and it's part of our imagination working with our memory, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, and our bodies react to that. I mean, that's the thing is
yeah.
suddenly I can smell my mom's chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, you know, right.
If I remember those.
Because it comes in through our senses.
Sure. And yeah. feel mm-hmm. the warmth of
right.
The sun at the right. beach or whatever. Yeah.
Right. But you know, that's a very human and wonderful thing you're talking about, Danny.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, the memory can be a very dark place.
Yeah, true.
And it is a dark place because when you live in sin, you don't want to remember anything.
Mm, yeah.
Even relationships in
a dark
place. And that's all behind, you know, self-medication when it comes to drugs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You just feel nothing. Someone told me that when you take heroin, you feel nothing.
Wow.
And what is the pain? The pain is from the past.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And how it works on your present. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is all an opposite of memory here in Scripture. Now look at this passage in Exodus 13, verses 8 through 10. On that day when you will explain to your son, this is very important, to your son and then, you know, son's son mm-hmm. down the generation.
Yeah.
This is because of what the Lord did for who?
Me. Yeah.
Me. That's these words are what you're supposed to say to your sons, and it doesn't really matter whether it's the first generation or the second or third generation. This is what you need to say when you're trying to explain what you're doing when you're doing this liturgical act.
Right.
You're saying, this is what the Lord did for me. And he's saying it as if, and he is
there.
Actually there.
Yes.
It
yes,
really doesn't
yeah.
matter if you are actually there or not, because the liturgical act takes you there.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
This is what you need to say when you're trying to explain what you're doing when you're doing this liturgical act.
Right.
You're saying, this is what the Lord did for me. And he's saying it as if, and he is
there.
Actually there.
Yes.
It
yes,
really doesn't
yeah.
matter if you are actually there or not, because the liturgical act takes you there.
Yeah. Got it.
I mean, that is.
And that's
so huge.
Really important to understand.
Right. So that's what remembrance is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remembrance, liturgy, they're so incredibly connected with history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a beautiful thing. You know, let's put this as a side. You know, I got the idea for Ancient Hopes from a quote from, I read from St. Louis, C.S. Lewis. He's not a saint. He will never be in the Catholic Church, but
yes, right.
he's sort of a saint to me. Okay.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis, right?
Right.
I got it from one, it jumped out of me, Ancient Hopes.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Okay. We're locked in to a history that takes us millennia back.
Yeah.
And so we do remember. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's the best part of remembering that we can, but not only remember it in our minds, you know, remember it liturgically. Okay?
The other thing I was thinking about, just you saying that, it sort of calls to mind that it's an ancient hope, but it's a hope for the future too.
Well, hope,
you know, I mean,
is it knowledge moves, of the future.
Right. It
yeah.
moves us, the ancient part
yeah.
of it and the
yeah, yeah.
memory part of it. Moves us into having that hope for the future. It's really
exactly,
interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. And you're kind of jumping ahead to the Eucharist as we are making our way there. So that is so cool. Okay. Now we're bringing the whole idea of worship together too, because remembrance is an objective liturgical act where worshipers are transported back in time to that event and everybody experiences it together.
Yeah.
And it's a liturgical act
mm-hmm.
that does. This is what happened for every generation that experienced the Passover. But also when we think about the Mass as sacred drama, okay,
mm-hmm.
it's really, the Passover is a reenactment.
Yeah.
You see reenactors who so desperately want to get back into that Civil War moment.
Yeah, or that real history, that Revolutionary real history, War.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. For them, it's, you know, it's a remembrance thing, and it's got the visuals and the sensual things all around that help you experience, and that's why they'd like to do it. But they really never go back there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not theological. It's not God-driven, okay? Yeah. It's not supernatural, because the supernatural aspect of the liturgical act really transports you back to that time.
Yeah, okay.
And if we all understood that with the liturgy, like, we'd go, man, okay. I mean, it's hard for me sometimes to even get through the Mass without cracking up.
Because, yeah, sure. Not cracking up, laughing.
No. He's cracking up with emotion, sure. Because of this whole reality, right?
Yeah.
And so I just want to say this, not to get down on Protestants, but, you know, when they see, do this in remembrance of me, they're looking at it in a purely cognitive, Western, intellectual way, right? Mm-hmm. If that's all that it is, then... and it's not really an act that transports, well, then it really is not that important. Because you can remember Jesus and event in a dozen other ways, right?
Sure.
And that's why they really are not centered on the Eucharist. It's sort of a side thing, or it may even no longer exist at all in their worship.
Right. For them, the Scriptures and understanding the Scriptures as a whole is way more important than this idea. But the interesting thing for me is that if the whole remembrance thing doesn't really transport us back, if that's not true, then that means that it's not true for people who are Hebrew, people who are Jewish, because that it does the same thing for them at their Passover celebrations, right?
And, you know, the disciples were Jewish.
Yeah.
They understood this. They didn't.
Yes.
They didn't have to be taught.
Yeah.
This that we are working through right now, which is so hard for us to grasp as Westerners.
Yeah.
It was like a no-brainer.
Right. When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
Anamnesis is the Greek word, okay?
Yeah.
That's translates this whole idea of zakar in the Hebrew of memory, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They knew it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you lose this thing, you're living in your own subjective haze, and the history, you get further and further separated from it. And when you get separated from the events, okay, and it's just me and my remembrance, maybe some, you know, heartwarming music. Hopefully you've got a dynamic pastor that can, you know, it's all focused on that.
Yeah.
Liturgy is focused completely and totally and absolutely on God.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing the Protestants can understand. Why would you go to Mass? It's just what seems to be an empty form, and your priest doesn't know how to preach, and you still have a packed out church.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, why is
okay. that? Well, you see, the Catholic, even though they need to learn more about what actually is happening and really appreciate it, they go because they have an intuitive sense that this act is essential to their lives and salvation.
Right, yeah.
Right. Now, the prophets get down on those who just do outward forms, right?
Mm.
And that's always that ever-present danger.
Sure.
But no one ever sees what the danger on the other side is, and that is where walking away from the reality of what God has done in history in His salvation acts. So just like the Hebrews actually experienced this great and amazing act of salvation that God did for them, right?
Right, by bringing them out of Egypt. Yeah,
yeah. Our Catholic remembrance, of course, is the actual crucifixion of Jesus and, you know, the Last Supper, where He is offering His body and blood to us, right?
Yeah.
So we go back in time. And so, again, you know, coming out of the Protestant world, there's so many things that there's a willing ignorance about Catholicism. Oh, you worship Mary. Well, I've never met a Catholic that worships Mary.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. There may be some out there. Right. But that's not what's church doctrine. Okay. That we re-sacrifice Christ at the Mass. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that is really extraneous, that weird, maybe some people weirdly believe that, but that's not Catholic doctrine. That's right.
It's a misunderstanding.
It's a misunderstanding, yeah. Right? Yeah. So these are very important things to keep in mind. And this is why Jesus is taking us back to that moment.
Okay? Sure, yeah.
Now, you mentioned something about hope, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's not only ancient. I really like the name Ancient Hopes now because of what you're saying. I knew I liked that. But ancient means it's the past,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And hope, by definition, at least my definition, is knowledge of the future.
Sure.
It's not wishful thinking, okay, mm-hmm. Wishful thinking. If hope is wishful thinking, then a lot of people say, well, I sure hope there's heaven. I sure hope I get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. That's the way the world thinks of hope, right?
Right.
I hope I get this, the car. I hope I have this relationship. You know, I hope I, you know, get this job or they go on and on and on, right? It's wishful thinking. It may or may not happen. And if it happens, it never brings you the happiness that you want, right?
Right, right.
So what hope in Scripture is an actual knowledge of the future through mm-hmm. revelation, okay?
Yeah.
Just like faith is a knowledge. It's a knowledge of God.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. These two knowledges are superior to intellectual knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, of course, love is the ultimate relational love. The relational knowledge, right? That's what I want to say. Okay, so what we've done today in this podcast is that we basically brought creation with the garden, right? Guarding and keeping, which that takes you to the liturgy that God is opening up to us in the book of Exodus and the Passover. And it also takes us all the way to Jesus and the Eucharist and the worship of it that binds heaven and earth together. And then finally, you know, to the marriage supper of Lamb, which happens also in the Eucharist. I mean, so yeah, if people could just get that, then,
right.
You know, and it's work. Okay. Oh, man, you know, I'm exhausted after a Mass. You know what I mean?
Right.
First of all, I don't like it up in front of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just absolutely forget that I'm in front of people by just focusing on praying the words to the Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I realize what that's happening, that, you know, I'm just so emotional, okay, there, you know, because it's a transporting.
Sure.
You know?
And you can lose yourself. That's the good thing. You can lose your own personal knowledge of what's happening and things like that by being transported
because it's not about me.
Yeah,
you know, if it's about me, I just crawl under a rock and just die somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that for me, the connection between the Garden of Eden and the work and keeping.
Yeah.
And the Passover and their liturgy.
Yeah.
To Jesus as in the Last Supper, saying remembrance.
Yeah.
Connecting all those things to the liturgy and the Eucharist and the worship of God today in the Eucharistic liturgy.
Yeah,
that's what came out of this for me.
it's so mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But that connection.
Soul enlarging, you know.
Eye-opening for me. Yeah, good. Okay, it's great. I hope people can understand this, and if they don't, then they can just wait for more, because I'm sure there's more on the way.
Well, you know, they can always go back to the post, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and then... Yeah, we'll have some good things next time, too. I mean, Danny, this is loads of fun, isn't it?
It is. It's fun. Okay, thanks so much for coming in. See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.